and welcome to This Podcast is written on the back of the Declaration of Independence, a show in which we form a family kill circle to save us from the tyranny of Ryan Reynolds' insidious takeover of our family.
Hello, my name's Callum.
And I'm Chelsea.
And this is the show. And this time on the show, I'm really good at this podcasting.
What is happening?
This time on the show, we are doing The Croods.
Do you want to take that again?
No, it's fine.
All right, it's Saturday. We're tired.
Coined and minted.
We watched The Croods, which I always, for some reason, I want to say like the aliens in Toy Story.
That you think
they're
that's
Croods,
oh, you like want to that. Say it like
it's just
that.
Something about the word that makes me a little bit happy.
Yeah.
The Croods.
Jesus. Okay, so tell us a little bit about 2013's. Mm-hmm. DreamWorks Animation, The Croods.
Oscar-nominated DreamWorks Animation. Who knows why?
Honestly. Well, because there's only so many animated films. And
it's a big studio.
And you know, the people who vote for Oscars don't actually watch the animated films.
No,
they
that's
just pick
true.
Whichever one Pixar made normally.
Yeah.
And they went, oh, that's another one. So they probably voted for that. Do you know what I mean?
It shows.
Yeah.
It shows. I mean, there's not a lot to it. It's your basic family comedy.
Your basic family caveman film.
Yeah, we've all seen it before, you know. Cavemen.
Bunch of cavemen. Creatures. Emma Stone wants to see the world.
And bone Ryan Reynolds.
The rest of the dad caveman, Nicolas Cage, wants to keep everyone safe and has a sort of a overprotective grip of everyone. Mm-hmm. The
so
world's
to
about
learn.
To end. They have to learn how to...
They have to learn that fear will not keep them safe.
Yeah, exactly. That kind
blah,
of stuff.
Blah, blah, blah.
I mean, yeah. That kind of
predictable
thing.
Plot.
Yep.
Moving on.
There's a minion. Yeah.
There's many minions all the way through, but mainly that little sloth dude. This film basically has taken quite a lot of the tropes that you find in family films. Like, crazy violent baby for no reason,
yeah.
And little odd creature that makes funny noises like a minion, and like the unintelligent brother. They've just kind of taken it from other films and gone, but what if they were cavemen?
It's very cliche sort of written, isn't it?
Very
it?
Is. It very is.
It very,
what is going on?
It very much.
It very much is.
Yeah, as you can probably tell, we neither of us are particularly impressed by this.
No, I promise I'm going to stop choosing the films now because I never pick the good ones.
What were the last ones you picked?
Deadpool.
I didn't enjoy Deadpool, but it made for good content at least.
I feel like I also chose G-Force though, which I
did
enjoy.
I think you did choose G-Force.
G-Force
was your choice.
G-Force might be the last one I enjoyed.
No, it wasn't.
That's not true. I can't remember.
You
what
like
we've
Matchstick
done.
Men? That was
I
last.
Did like Matchstick.
That was the last film we watched.
Oh my god, has it been a fortnight?
So yeah, The Croods.
Yeah.
Wow. Where do we start with this? I think we start with the fact that everything is fucking ugly in this film.
Like what? Everyone's so waxy.
The designs are. But part of me feels bad about commenting on this and saying the designs of the characters are ugly, because I feel like it was a conscious choice. And also, I kind of applaud them for not just making a bunch of people who are cavemen. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah,
like,
but
I kind of applaud them for taking a step out of the sort of the standard character design. And trying to make something interesting out of these cavemen characters.
I agree, and I think it was nice to have Emma Stone's character, particularly having like a female protagonist, who is not what we would now consider conventionally attractive.
She doesn't look like
but
Moana, for example.
You can't then place that... Moana's not a caveman. What was that?
No, but like in terms of like the easy thing to have done would have been to just make everyone look like the standard Disney Pixar character design.
I see, right.
And just put them in cavemen outfits and with a bone through the top of their heads,
okay.
Or whatever. That kind of traditional look. Whereas here, they have got, like, they've given her quite broad shoulders and quite a weird-shaped face and
mm-hmm.
stuff like that.
Yeah, but you can't then pit that against Ryan Reynolds looking like he just stepped out of a fucking boy band with frosted tips and low-rider jeans. Like,
yeah, it's an odd choice.
What?
It's odd. And that's, I think that's the thing that makes the character designs so ugly, is that they're so mismatched.
Yeah, they don't actually look like they're from the same family.
Yeah, like, you could put sort of Catherine Keener's mum character against Emma Stone's daughter character. And there's sort of similarities, I guess, but you wouldn't necessarily think, oh, they're from the same family, let alone necessarily even the same world.
Character doesn't even look much like Nicolas Cage's character. Like, none of, they don't look like a family.
They're kind of just odd shapes and and then add on top of that that, you know, it's 2013, DreamWorks had just had a few flops. I think they were probably trying to cut some corners here and there.
Yeah, it looked like there was like layers of texturing that never quite got finished. Or
there's a kind of a waxy plastic look to a lot of things. Sort of Toy Story 2 era humans.
Oh man, those were some scary days.
Yeah, I
love them.
I feel at this point, 2013, you know, DreamWorks can do better than that. And they probably had in, like, How to Train Your Dragon about 2-3 years earlier.
That's true. That's a pretty movie.
But the environments are kind of pretty.
Yeah, I mean, they all feel slightly like they're from different worlds. They don't necessarily all feel prehistoric. They feel more fantasy than that.
Yeah, but definitely when they take a step into the new world, it's not an attempt at prehistoric. It's a fantasy world.
Yeah.
You know, there's a bird that has a tortoise shell and face.
Oh, yeah, the creatures are all completely made up.
Yeah.
Which is kind of fun.
Yeah, and the world's kind of made up, but then the tone of the film doesn't necessarily match that.
It's not a particularly fun movie, is it, really?
Well, I think that's mainly my major point is coming straight out of it is how tonally mismatched the whole thing is.
Mm.
Like, spoilers, towards the end, we're supposed to believe that Nicolas Cage's character is dead, or at least, like, you know, not coming back. He's sort of abandoned his family, he sacrificed himself. And there's this sequence where they're blowing these sort of conch shells into the canyon where he might be.
To try and communicate with him.
Try and communicate, but also it feels like it's a moment of, like, mourning.
Mm.
It feels like they're kind of learning.
Oh, I didn't get that at all. Oh, I think it should have, but yeah. I don't think it
I think it was a vague attempt at that, but they didn't sort of hammer it home properly. Mm. That it felt like it was maybe them learning how to, like, say goodbye to someone, is that it's all right to kind of, like, scream into the void kind of thing and to blow these conch shells to kind of mourn him. But what feels odd about that sort of moment of mourning is that, like, you know, 2-3 minutes earlier, there was this weird sort of slapstick gag routine where Nicolas Cage and Ryan Reynolds have made a giant, like, cat puppet.
Oh, yeah.
And then, it, like, tonally, the film flips from, like, this kind of heavy-handed, emotional, story-based lesson learning thing. And then the next minute, there's, like, you know, they're getting excited about shoes, and there's a gag about the sloth is his belt and shit like that. And it's just, it can be done, but they don't do it well enough.
No.
They don't do it well enough.
This might be an incredibly bad take, but I'm going to say it anyway.
Okay.
We've got time to fill. I want more death in kids' films.
Yeah, I want, like, them to remember, have the ghoul to do it.
Do you remember when, like, Bambi's mum died,
mm-hmm.
and, like, it maybe took me 2 or 3 attempts to see that film as a kid, but it's so much more worth it than this whole, oh, you think they're dead, but everyone's fine in the end.
Yeah.
What do you learn from that?
I mean, that's where Pixar rightfully earn their applause from, is that a lot of the time they are willing to push the boundaries of what is technically kids films,
yeah,
in inverted, you know, in commas, because they're not making films for kids, they're just making films.
Yeah,
they might have a skew towards family, but they're not kids films. Like Up, for example, takes the step of killing off a character in that first 5 minutes, and Inside Out deals with some really genuinely heartbreaking emotions.
But
no,
it's
one
not
dies
even...
but They push the limit of what they think is acceptable,
yeah,
for a kid to learn, and ultimately, everything is acceptable.
It's not even that they kill off a character in Up straight away. It's that Carl is dealing with that for the rest of the movie.
The film is about loss and death. Yeah.
Yeah.
And other than maybe Bambi, I can't necessarily even think of many kids' films that are outwardly dealing with that as an issue.
I think there's something like that in Fox and the Hound, but we haven't got there in our Disney rewatch. And no. I know you haven't seen it. I don't want to ruin it, but I feel like I never finished that film as a kid because I was so sad and scared. Yeah.
But I agree. I think you know, even if they did have a silly gag 5 minutes before, the film, the stakes of the film, the Croods, are that the world is ending.
Yeah.
Literally, they're like, the beginning of the film opens with this hand-drawn, like, caveman animation.
Mm-hmm.
And it ends with, but our world is going to end. And you think, oh, okay, maybe there are stakes to this. No, not really.
No.
Not really. You kind of, at no point are you like, oh, are they actually going to kill his character off? I mean, maybe that's because I've seen a poster for The Croods. Dawn
a
of,
New Age.
A New Dawn. A Dawn of...
A New Age.
A New Age.
I think.
Which is a sequel that was made this year, last year.
So it was due to come out in 2018, and the reason it did not come out was... Or it was due to be developed to come out then.
Yeah.
Because they didn't want it to go up against Star Wars. Like, they think those are exactly the same audiences.
Just release it a couple of weeks later, then.
Right?
What?
So they developed it later to come out, supposedly last year, but I don't know if it is actually out yet or streaming.
I think it is in America.
Oh, okay. There you
go. I think if you get Peacock, you can watch all of The Office, and then you can watch The Croods too.
On the NBC thing?
And the NBC streaming app.
Why?
Because cinemas are closed.
Yeah, but why is it on that? Because why is it not on...
I think Universal, the people, the parent company of NBC, own DreamWorks Animation now.
Oh, okay, because this one was a 20th Century Fox, so technically now owned by the Disney Corporation.
I don't think they own the right to the DreamWorks films, but...
No, but it was a 20th Century Fox film.
I think... This is so boring. I think it was a distribution thing.
Oh.
So I think the film rights are owned by DreamWorks and they own the right to the film and stuff like that. But when it was distributed via 20th Century Fox.
I see.
Really
I don't
fun
care.
Stuff. Come back, care. Listen to my podcast about who owns the right to the Quicksilver character in the MCU.
Oh my God. Who knows?
Who knows?
So I was going to go on a bit of a feminist rant here.
Yes. Go ahead.
This is a fucking cave people film, right?
Yeah.
Why do you still need the fucking bitchy I hate you mother-in-law thing? Why that dynamic?
Nicolas Cage not liking his mother-in-law.
Not liking his mother-in-law, Cloris Leachman.
Rest in peace, bless her.
Rest in peace recently. Like, why do you need that? There is no... She's not even, like, outwardly mean to him, necessarily.
No.
That you don't see enough of their characters to even warrant it being there. So can we just fucking get rid of this trope, please?
It's just generic trope.
It's just
because,
demonizing
yeah.
older women.
Yeah, it's bullshit. I mean, that's the thing as well, is that the family of the Croods, there are too many characters to explore all of these characters and give them time, plus to explore this idea of a new world... And all of the creatures and the habitat that comes with that. There's,
yeah,
there's
and
too
the film
much and
particularly focuses on the Emma Stone, Nicolas Cage, Ryan Reynolds sort of triangle thing of dad going, don't run off with this
boy yeah.
who just talks bullshit. Like, don't. He does. He talks absolute bullshit, but he's pretty. And that's her whole foundation behind liking him is he's pretty and he has a bit of fire. He can make fire.
He's new. I think that's
he's
why
new.
She likes him.
He is literally the only man still alive that she knows of outside of her family.
Yeah, I mean, other than
and
fucking her brother or her dad, that's her only option.
Therefore, we must form a romantic attachment.
Yeah.
I have nothing further to say. I just am severely disappointed.
Because
the opportunities.
I think the opportunity was there because, like you said earlier, the character design for Emma Stone's cave woman, cave person, is different. And it kind of gives this early doors indication of maybe we are actually going to try and create a fun, interesting, strong female character. And then, not really. She spends a lot of the film doting and kind of doing a kind of a puppy dog, like in a kind of comedic manner, a kind of a puppy dog, I love this boy kind of thing. And then the spate.
Yeah.
It's not a lot.
Her whole thing is defying her dad, but she doesn't even do very much of that, really.
Yeah, not really.
And she doesn't seem to do it for any other reason other than, I want to. Rather than, I know you're wrong about this.
Yeah.
Here's my reasoning.
Yeah.
Because that's what we want to see in a kids' film. Reasoning. Solid fucking debate.
Reasoning. Debate.
Solid reasoning.
They need to get Jackie Weaver in there to run the debate properly.
I'm sorry I was such a saint before, and I'm such a prick now.
Shall we talk a little bit about Nicolas Cage?
Yeah, fine.
Okay. I mean, we can make this a Croods podcast. I'm not sure how long it would last.
No. Yeah, Nicolas Cage is in this.
Yeah. So my first thought, when I heard him talk, and it kind of lasted most of the way through the film, he sounds very, very young.
Yeah.
Something in his tone of voice that's very, like, mid-20s jock.
Interesting. I don't think I necessarily picked up that, but...
There was a lot of that intonation of sort of vaguely whiny, why is nobody listening to me?
Yeah.
But not in a typical dad way.
Yeah.
He just sounded very, very young to me. And his body language, the body language of his character,
yeah,
was apparently based on his performances in The Family Man and Leaving Las Vegas.
Oh, okay. I could see that. The character is very sort of flaily and...
Very flaily. Makes some wonderful noises.
They do purposely, like... I feel like there are some moments where they just sort of went, you know, make some Nicolas Cage noises.
Yeah.
You know, have fun with this.
Like, blah, 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 blah.
All that kind of stuff. Yeah. I do feel like he does a decent job.
Mm.
And I do feel like they utilise him.
Yeah.
I feel like it's not the best showcase for a Nicolas Cage animated character. He feels slightly out of place in the film.
I mean,
but
he's not an animated mole, so...
He's not an animated mole.
We're never going to match that.
Speckles.
The spy mole.
Yeah. He feels slightly out of place, but yeah. I do think he's doing a good job.
I wonder if part of the reason he sounds so young is that Emma Stone doesn't necessarily sound that young.
Yeah, she's got quite a deep voice, hasn't she, for what is supposed to be a sort of a teenager.
Yeah. I mean, I liked what she was doing.
She's meant to be sort of 16-ish or something.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I liked it. But there's just something about, there's something about him sounded so young and like,
yeah,
I don't know.
Strange. I didn't necessarily pick up on that. But yeah, it felt, it worked.
Did it?
I think it worked.
I mean, it was serviceable, I suppose.
Yeah. In that he's going to put some bums on seats because you can write Nicolas Cage on the poster, isn't it? You know, like, that's why DreamWorks do it.
Yeah.
If they actually gave a shit about the character, they'd cast a voiceover artist to do it.
There is a scene at the end of the film where he is Nicolas Cage's character. Grug?
Dad.
They've all got random noises.
They've
for
got
names.
Like, eh and bug. Is there a character called Bug?
No.
I don't know.
That rhymes with Grug. Bug.
Bug.
Hug. Grug. That's his whole thing. Anyway,
yes, he is called Grug.
He is trying to come up with ideas of how to escape across the canyon to his family.
Yes.
Who are on the other side because he hears the conch and goes, I need to get to them. How do I do it? And this, what he does next is literally the picture of my entire writing process.
Oh, him trying to formulate an idea.
Just hitting his head with rocks, then proclaiming he's got an idea.
Yeah.
And then proceeding in literally the most difficult way he ever could have chosen.
To get over the canyon.
Yeah.
Yeah. rather than, like, he's befriended a giant cat at this point. And I, when the cat turned up again and he befriended it, I thought, oh, he's just going to ride on the cat's back.
Because the cat has proven itself. And the very cat, physically able.
Yeah, the cat's going to, like, run up the side of the cliff and then jump over or whatever.
Yeah.
But no, they climb in
into the rib cage of a larger creature with the massive cat. Save a lot of little animals on the way. Cover it in tar and get tiny birds to fly it across the canyon.
Yeah. And then steer it with a flaming tree.
Yeah. And that, to me, is just chef kiss.
When he could have just got the cat to jump.
Yeah. Just overthink everything. That's how I operate. And I connected to that on a deep emotional level.
So, what do you think? We've talked about the fact that this has got a sequel. Without having seen the sequel, what do we think Croods A New Age is about?
Well, I think they've already started the approach into quote-unquote modern life.
Yeah.
By which I mean Ryan Reynolds' frosted tip, early noughties way of living in cave people times.
Yeah.
I have a feeling they might mix up their timelines, because there's gonna need to be another threat.
Yeah.
Right. So I have the feeling that they might try for like a sort of Ice Age thing, and I do not care what happens. I genuinely, it's not a franchise I'm interested
in.
Yeah,
it's a really odd choice for DreamWorks to pick, to be like, we're going to do a sequel to
this. Well, I don't know, because it was the first film in years that made them any money, so they probably went, capitalise on this.
But to do it so late after.
But if it had come out in 2018, they would have actually been developing it not that long after the first film came out.
Yeah.
But because they decided to push it back, they didn't start working on it like until 4 years after it started.
Maybe that's why they pushed it back, though, is because the original plan was for a film called The Croods Force Awakens. And they were like, shit, it's too similar to that Star Wars film. We need to cut that scene in which Nicolas Cage's character drinks blue milk straight from the teat. And they decided to push it back. Here's my pitch.
Okay.
The Crude family
are
continuing their travels towards the sun or whatever the fuck it is they do.
Oh, yeah, into tomorrow.
And even though Ryan Reynolds' family died in a tar pit,
they come
across a family of other Croods who are more advanced, and they're like farmers or something, or maybe they like work in metal. Or something, so that's the New Age. It's like the Agriculture Age or like the Bronze Age or something like that. And during the course of the film, we find out that they're like Ryan Reynolds' like aunt and uncle or something.
Mm-hmm.
And then there's some bullshit about the Croods and the new family needing to go separate ways. But the couple want to stay together and they don't know what to do. And then they decide to split up and then they don't, the end. And then the belt does some minion things.
Snickers and mash. Bubbles and squeak. What? Smoked eel pie. Chef.
So one of the interesting things about this film is its production history.
Yes.
So
Wait. Actually interesting or nerd interesting?
Nerd interesting.
Oh, okay. Buckle in.
Fuck you. So the original plan was that this film would be an Aardman stop motion claymation animated film.
Mm-hmm.
This was back when Aardman had a partnership with DreamWorks, which led to the release of, I believe, Flushed Away and Curse of the Were-Rabbit.
I used to love Flushed Away.
Flushed Away's a great film.
My sister named her hamster after Roddy the Rat.
Is that Hugh Jackman's character in Flushed Away?
Yep.
Yeah. And the plan was that John Cleese and another writer were writing a film called The Crude Awakening.
Yes.
Great
good
name.
Good pun. We like it.
And it was going to be an Aardman film based on this kind of concept.
And when you say Aardman film, are we talking stop motion as well?
I believe so, but I don't know. Because obviously Flushed Away is CGI, but done in the style of an Aardman stop motion film.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's made by Aardman, but because there's so much water in it, I think they decided to do it CGI or something. Okay. And then, because Flushed Away and because the Were-Rabbit didn't make any money overseas, DreamWorks cancelled their like partnership with Aardman, and there was kind of, they weren't sure what was happening with the film. John Cleese left, and DreamWorks retained the rights to the project, retooled it, worked it into The Croods, and that's that.
But, in between?
Yes.
In between, it was going to be a buddy movie.
Oh.
It was going to be a buddy movie between Nicolas Cage's character and Ryan Reynolds' character, so like a modern dude and a caveman.
I can see that working. It might have been a bit more focused.
Yes, true. Who needs another buddy dude movie, though? Have we seen enough? I feel like I've seen enough buddy dudes.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah. Anyway.
Sorry, completely interrupted your point for absolutely no reason.
If you want to watch this film, if you've got a hankering for an animated, family-friendly caveman film, watch Aardman's Early Man.
Oh yeah, much better.
Instead, which I can only assume, I don't think it's necessarily they ever said it, but I can only assume that Aardman's side of the pre-production for The Crude Awakening evolved over time into their own caveman-related film, Early Man.
Yeah, you would have thought.
It doesn't particularly share many comparisons. No. There's no similarity in plot other than cavemen, really. Yeah. Cavemen and the idea that there is a bigger, like more exciting world outside of cave life. But it's fun. It's not amazing, but it's fun, charming.
I was very sceptical. We saw it in the cinema, didn't we?
We did, when it first came out.
I was very sceptical because I was like, I like Aardman, but God, it's a movie about cavemen playing football. I hate football.
Yeah,
I'm not really interested in like cave people as a concept. And actually, I very much enjoyed it.
Yeah.
It was good fun. It's a nice Sunday afternoon film, I think.
Definitely. If you want to stick your kids in front of something and then get something out of it yourself as well.
Yeah.
You'll have a much better time with Early Man.
Definitely.
Yeah.
Do you have a pick for Help? I'm trapped in a glass Nicolas Cage of emotion.
Not particularly. He just makes some good noises at various parts, doesn't he? There's not a particular line I can think of necessarily.
I very much enjoyed the first time we see him actually as a character, not a cave drawing.
Yes.
Where he's coming out of the cave first thing in the morning to scare off a series of weird
creatures. He's kind of
doing
the kind of morning sweep of the area outside the cave to make sure everyone's fine.
And he makes some wonderful noises.
Yeah, it's good stuff. Like I said, I feel like they sat in the recording studio and gave Nicolas Cage a bit of free rein to cage up his vocal performance when he wanted to,
but only in very specific parts.
Yeah, never when dialogue's concerned.
No,
it's only the kind of the screamy, shouty moments. There's not particularly any dialogue where I think, "Oh, that's a Nicolas Cage line reading."
No, not really.
Amazon reviews.
Not a lot of people have given it 1 or 2 star reviews. It's got 4.7 out of 5.
I mean, I can imagine a lot of kids like it.
Yeah,
I can imagine that kids enjoy it, and it's bright and it's colourful and it's kind of loud.
Mm-hmm.
I can imagine kids enjoy it.
Kara. Very recently, on the 27th of January 2021.
Okay.
At the time of recording, it's the 6th of February.
So about a week ago.
Peek behind the curtain there for you.
Wow, aren't you lucky?
Kara said, 1 star. Title? Croods. I accidentally rented this thinking it was Cross 2 and watched 5 seconds of it, realised it was the wrong one, then I couldn't return it because I had watched 5 seconds. Big waste of money.
How do you do that? How do you mistake that?
I mean, they're going to look very different, are they not?
The posters and the... Right. What's Cross 2?
I don't know.
I mean, surely you're familiar with the Cross franchise if you're watching the sequel.
Unless she meant to say Croods 2.
That's it.
It's a typo,
that's
maybe.
It. She thought she was renting Croods 2. Boom.
For £2.50? A brand new film?
It's not bad.
I don't think so, friend. They're charging more than cinema tickets now.
Yeah.
I get it if you're a family of four, but if you're one person wanting to watch a film, it's very expensive.
It is to watch those new online premieres.
Mm-hmm. Amy gives it 1 star. Titles her review, 1 star. The review did not come with the toy as stated.
Oh, no.
I guess it probably came
with a little cuddly toy or something and it didn't come. Can you imagine if all Nicolas Cage films came with a little toy? Like a little McDonald's Happy Meal toy?
I'd actually be into that.
What film would you want and what little toy would you want to get with it?
I would like a Moonstruck toy with a detachable, like, fake hand.
Oh, a little action figure where you can take your hand, take the hand off.
Yeah.
That's good. That's not bad. I'd like a little replica of the bulldog from Matchstick Men where you can take the head off and store things inside. Or maybe it's like a salt and pepper shaker set.
That's very good.
That'd be good.
Yeah, I would like that.
Or just a Speckles from G-Force.
We stand Speckles.
I don't
this
stand
is now
that,
This is now a Speckles mole. Stan account.
Blech.
Jay Haig gives The Croods 3 stars. I've gone for a variety because there were not many reviews in the lower end bracket here. Film's a bit rubbish, he says. They say. Maybe better for kids, as it is a kids' film. Found it a bit boring.
Fair enough.
I mean, I feel like if you watch a film, know it's not for you, and then still write a review saying, oh, it's not for me. Why would you bother writing that review?
Well, why the fuck are we still recording then?
Oh, I don't know.
Because we just watched a kids' film that we know is not for us. This isn't art.
You need to widen your
horizons. This is critique, just like theirs is.
You need to widen your horizons. This is art.
Stop recording now.
Would you like a 5-star?
Go on. Let me...
A couple of 5 stars. People loved it. Like, genuinely, families loved it. And it is all very much... Sat my kids in front of it. They loved it. I got to do stuff for an hour. It was great.
Yeah, I did the ironing. It was great. Yeah.
Yummy mummy with an exclamation mark.
Oh, no.
I know.
No, I don't like her already.
5 stars. Title. See it. You won't regret it. I can assure you of that. No spoilers from me, but must see. Thumbs up, thumbs up, thumbs up. It's the first Amazon review I've seen with actual emojis in.
She's very
she's very intense.
Excited about it.
Brilliant film for the family. Me and hubby and our boys loved it. And this is when I knew I wouldn't like her because
she called hubby.
My mum calls my dad hubby and I can't.
I'm not a fan of the phrase.
Sorry, mum. Sorry, dad. Love you, but stop that, please. Must see if into this sort of thing. I mean, like animated films. It's amazing and great story! Exclamation mark, exclamation mark. Smiley face with 2 mouths. Thumb up, thumb up, thumb up, thumb up, thumb up.
I mean, I would say, I would disagree. I'm into animated films. It's one of the genres I like the most.
Mm-hmm.
And I wouldn't recommend it. I wouldn't recommend it.
Not especially not as like an introduction to animated films. Oh. I would maybe recommend it to my sister for my niece who is...
I would recommend it for like, oh, you've got to babysit someone or, you know, you've got a child and you don't know what to shove on for them. Oh, that'll do.
Yeah.
Which isn't the attitude to have, but I understand the daily goings ins and outs of childcare is you just need them to sit down in front of a screen for half an hour and shut the heck up while you do something.
Yeah, kids are annoying. They get in the way of everything.
I would like to be of the belief that, like, I would only ever, if I had a child, I'd only ever show it the best of children and family cinema.
That's so wanky. I know,
but I feel like I would want to do that. I'd be like, no.
Only Pixar for you, baby.
Jemima, we're not going to see Space Chimps or whatever we call our kid if we have one.
It's not going to be Jemima, I can tell you that.
But no, we're not going to go and see whatever bullshit, you know, we're not going to go and see fucking The Croods 2. I'd be like, we must go and watch Soul. like, it's deep and meaningful.
So here's the thing, though. How are you vetting this? Because you don't necessarily know that the Croods wasn't going to be this, like, incredible allegory about
basically,
living life to the fullest.
Basically, what I'm saying is my kid would only be able to watch things that I want to watch.
Fair enough. I just wondered whether you were going to the cinema before taking the family.
But maybe it's just a generational thing. Maybe it's just kids these days don't have taste. How can you explain the Minions being that big?
I mean, like, I don't know that I can speak, though, because when I was at university...
What? Did you have a Minion thing?
No, I didn't have a thing for the Minions. It wasn't like a fetish or anything.
No, but did you have objects that were Minions?
No.
Good.
But I think we must have been in our second year. And the film Minions came out. Spin-off movie.
The prequel to Despicable Me's.
And genuinely, me and I think there were three or four of us. Five of us. The weekend it came out, we went to see it in The Reel, which sadly, rest in peace.
Bless our local flea pit cinema.
Oh, it was beautiful. It was cheap. It was falling apart, but it was glorious. Yeah. Old theatre cinema.
I've had some proper lovely cinema experiences in there.
I also saw Fantastic Beasts and Where to Find Them there, which was not so beautiful. We went on opening weekend and it was literally us and 500 children on birthday parties.
Yeah.
And I don't honestly think we went ironically. Now I think about it in retrospect.
No.
I don't think we went to see Minions ironically. We thought we'd enjoy it.
Do you know how I know that you didn't go and see Minions unironically?
Why?
Because when we were dating at the beginning, we went and saw Despicable Me 3 because you wanted to see it. And it was vaguely early doors and I didn't want to turn around and be like, you want to watch this fucking shit?
In my defence, nothing else was on. I was living in a house share I hated and I wanted to be out of the house.
We watched Despicable Me 3 in the
I thought you wanted to see it because you thought it would be bad and funny.
In the tiny screen. We watched it in the tiny screen and behind us was like a group of about 20 or 30 foreign language students.
Yes!
Who were obviously dumped in there by their carer or their teacher or whatever and just told to shut up and watch it.
Yeah. Oh, good times at The Reel.
Yeah. Do you remember the time we went and saw Get Out?
With like three older women.
And
it was like
two older pensioners behind us, and that was it in this tiny little screen.
It was like a Tuesday afternoon. Pensioners got like a free tea and coffee.
Yeah, and we sat there during the trailers going, Do they think this
is a horror film?
And then at the end, you went to the toilet and I got chatting to them while I was waiting for you because they came up to me while I was waiting in the foyer and they went, well, that was very good, wasn't it? And I was like, yeah, it was. Did you enjoy it? And we had a little chat about Get Out, which was great. And they loved it. They were like, it really touched a nerve, didn't it? Like, they were like talking about it. Oh, it's brilliant. I love those two ladies.
And the sad thing is, those ladies aren't going to go see films like that in The View or the Cineworld because it's twice the price.
And they don't get a cup of tea.
And, like, this is why we need to support small cinemas.
Uh-huh.
I have one final Amazon review.
Okay.
If you feel we've diverted enough.
I think we could come back to this, yeah.
Yep. Gene Clinton.
Mm-hmm.
I assume no relation to the American Clintons. 5 stars. Loved it. My favourite Disney film. Great fun.
Oh, classic. Classic.
There we go. That's it for Bezos reviews. Have you anything else you would like to say before I apparently kill you? That was a really weird tone of voice I used there.
Anything else to add? Not particularly. It's a rather unremarkable film. We've probably been a little bit too harsh on it, maybe.
Yeah, I think so. I think it's competent.
I think it's fine. It's competent. It does its job. It satisfies the majority of its audience, obviously. It wasn't particularly for us. It didn't satisfy an animation itch. It didn't satisfy Nicolas Cage performance itch. It was a bit ugly. But it has a story. It goes from A to B. It's not Wonder Woman 84.
Oh, that hurt me deeply.
That's such a mess.
It could have been so much more.
Do you have anything to add about the Croods?
No.
Great. What's our next film? Is it my choice?
Yeah.
Okay.
I told you, I'm never choosing again. This is why I never choose what we watch, because I never pick well.
Well, I have a plan for us for our next episode. We are going to do a special episode.
Special?
The Wicker Man versus The Wicker Man. We're going to watch both original Wicker Man and Nicolas Cage, Neil LaBute remake The Wicker Man. Compare, contrast, discuss, find out where those goddamn bees went. Yeah, that's what we're going to do. You've not Amazing. Seen either of them, I believe.
Nope. Surprise, surprise. What have I seen?
I have seen both. I don't know about the original Wicker Man, but the Nicolas Cage Wicker Man is currently streaming on Amazon Prime in the UK. But we will see you then in probably about 2 weeks-ish time for a double bill episode.
Woo woo!
See you soon.
Bye.
Bye.
You have been listening to This Podcast is Written on the Back of the Declaration of Independence. If you've enjoyed the show, then maybe you could give us a subscription or a review on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever else you download your podcasts from.
You can also find us on all the usual social media channels as Nick Cage Pod. That's NICCAGEPOD. If you really enjoyed it and would like to give us the equivalent of a cup of coffee over the internet, you can donate a small amount to our coffee page at ko-fi.com/NickCagePod. Again, /NICCAGEPOD. Thank you very much for listening.
Bye!